If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Welcome to Baseball Insiders. It's a Wednesday. Roman Anthony is a Red Sox for the next 8 years, pending physical. We have plenty to talk about. Trade deadline regrets we may already have. The futures of Devin Williams and Kyle Schwarber and the postseason race. And here to talk through it all with me is FanSided's MLB Insider, Robert Murray. We'll be talking you through a bit of a schedule update, and we'll see you in the Discord between shows. Robert, how you doing?
I'm great, man. It's good to be here. Lots happening in baseball already this morning with Roman Anthony's extension. We'll dive into that here in a little bit. But yeah, freaking crazy. It's good to be back here in Arizona after a few days in Chicago. Have caught up on sleep for sure. Feel like a much more normal and like actual like a human being again. So that's nice. But good to be here. How are we doing, Adam Weiner? Happy hump day.
Happy hump day. We are alive. Yeah, there is nothing like getting a little rest in your own bed. Finally starting to breathe again. We did two great shows in Chicago at the National. Thank you to the National for having us. That was amazing. And of course, we have already learned a lot about trade deadline deals that we liked and appraised differently back on Saturday. You laughed at me for my Saturday take of Phillies over Red Sox in the World Series. And all of a sudden, here we are. Roman Anthony's extended. Every key Red Sox is extended, basically. Marcelo Meyer, jealous of the extension brigade. He probably gets one this offseason, too. They have won 7 in a row after winning 10 in a row just before the All-Star break. They never lose. Nothing bad has ever happened to them. And we will talk about all that and more on the show. I think Red Sox fans who criticize the front office this offseason, the Devers trade, and last offseason, you're allowed to change your mind. I will allow everyone the grace of changing their mind, but perhaps they had a plan all along. Seems like they might have. You can join us in the Discord, as I mentioned earlier. That is where you can ask Robert and I questions between shows. All you have to do is hit that join button and become a member at either the Rumor Mill tier or the All-Star tier, and you can get your questions prioritized in this chat. If you show up as an All-Star, we would love to have you. We're going to be making a schedule shift to one show per week until things really go crazy again as the postseason and offseason approaches. This is going to be an all Red Sox fan show, I can already tell. So,
and we also got Chris Roerdink, who is a buddy of mine from Sheboygan. So he's a Brewer fan. So we got at least one Brewer fan in the show. So that's good.
Good. Yeah, don't run, Yankees. Don't run. Don't run from what? You are ahead of us. There's no running left to be done. The Red Sox are ahead of the New York Yankees in the standings. Yankees lose every single game. So we'll talk about them in a bit as well, because yeah, total mess. And you wonder if anyone's on the hot seat. You gotta wonder. But yes, one show per week until things go truly nuclear. Although, again, you never know. Roman Anthony extension happens out of nowhere on a Wednesday. There may be more news on random days. We might have to hop on, but 3 o'clock Eastern time on Wednesdays from this point forward until we get closer to the postseason and offseason. We thank everyone for following along with us during the trade deadline. We thank everyone for, hanging out with us and subscribing to the Moonshot, our weekly baseball email newsletter that goes right to your inbox with the latest from Robert and the rest of the team. We thank everyone for reading the Baseball Insiders feed on fansided.com/baseball-insiders. We thank everyone for joining the show and listening to the podcast. Let's get into it. The Roman Anthony extension is here. This one comes out of seemingly nowhere. We're almost 48 hours removed from Roman Anthony getting scratched from a game like 20 minutes before it started. Turned out to be a minor back injury. Every Red Sox fan terrified. Now he's a Red Sox for the next 8 years, 130 mil baseline. This buys out either 3 or 4 years of free agency, depending on whether he wins the Rookie of the Year this year, which I don't think he will because you've got Nick Kurtz in the mix, but you never know. He has played like a Rookie of the Year, just doesn't quite have the base statistics, but he does have the power of being a Boston player versus a Sacramento athlete. It can get up to 230 mil. That's closer to the value that is appropriate, but it's going to buy out some real control. He joins Rafaela. He joins Christian Campbell, who's at AAA, but will be back soon, presumably. Bayo, a lot of folks under contract, naturally has people in the comments asking about whether Alex Bregman is next. Pretty good use of the money. If you are saving money on Rafael Devers, it's a good way to get money and use it on players who are also very good. But thoughts on the extension, and if there's a something that comes next for the fans looking for to get real greedy and go grab Alex Bregman too.
Yeah, I'll actually correct something. The max value on the deal is actually $230.2 million. So add an extra $0.2 to it.
I'm an idiot.
So I guess that is I guess that's something we can add to it as well. And Garrett Crochet is another one that they extended to. So they definitely have a nice long-term foundation in place there in Boston. And from what I gather, this deal happened very quickly. And it was not something on the radar for many people, even as of like last week, but it ended up getting done here between Roman Anthony and the Boston Red Sox. It's 8 years for $130 million, which kind of similar to Jackson Merrill's 9 years for $135 million. Obviously, it's a higher AAV, and there's escalators similar to what Merrill had as well. But it's a huge deal for Boston, and this is something that after they ended up trading Rafael Devers, they had plenty of money to spend both now and long term. And getting Anthony extended to this deal, it could look like a huge steal. I mean, even within by the end of the season, it even kind of looks like a steal now. But he wanted the long term security with the Red Sox. He wanted to be in Boston. He wanted to be a big part of that franchise. And they signed him for what? Like not almost a third of what they ended up getting Devers, I want to say.
$6 a year, I think. I mean, the point two is important when the money is like this, yeah.
See? No, I had to make sure I added the point two in there. But no, this was a tremendous deal for the Red Sox. And for Craig Breslow, this, between getting Anthony extended, getting Crochet extended, those are two probably face of the franchise types. You have an ace in Crochet. You have Roman Anthony, who can absolutely be an MVP candidate if everything continues to go right for him. Like, he is an insanely talented player. So I give Breslow a lot of credit. He's gotten a lot of criticism publicly for sure, but he deserves his praise here because this deal, I mean, if he reaches his potential, it could be one of the biggest steals in recent baseball memory.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, considering the reapportioning of the money, anyone who doubted they were going to give some of that Devers money elsewhere is probably eating their words right now. You can't help but think that, you know, not only does that make it easier to stomach the Crochet extension, you know, the Campbell Rafaela, you can lose on one of these and it doesn't really matter. I don't think they've made one yet where I'll say that's a loss. I'm not sure I understood the Rafaela move until this year, and then I very suddenly understood it. So, you know, whether you're moving the money elsewhere, or, you know, two-way Bregman, or you're just accounting for the players you already signed and leaving yourself the ability to go make another free agent splurge, you've done yourself some good business here. And I think any Red Sox fans who had doubts about the Craig Breslow admin are hopefully eating their words. Cause again, I hope I've made this perfectly clear. I'm very jealous. Like, I'm obviously jealous. They get the business done. They're either a middling team that's sort of out of the spotlight, or they make the playoffs and win the World Series. They rarely make the postseason and don't win the World Series. And they've got a lot of great players locked up for an extremely long time to try to go do it again.
Yeah. And the one thing that actually just kind of registered to me is, so Devers' extension when he signed it was for $331 million. You have Anthony for $130 million. You have Crochet for $170 million.
Yeah.
And you have Rafaela for $51 million. I mean, that's slightly a little bit more than Devers, but those three extensions as compared to Devers, I mean, it's pretty clear which deals I would want more. Obviously they had to pay some of Devers' contract for sure, but shedding that contract and getting rid of Devers, and it was an important step for the Red Sox. They're not done by any means, and extending or keeping Alex Bregman in town is going to be something that is very important for them. But we got to remember that his agent is Scott Boras. Obviously, Bregman has expressed that he wants to be in Boston, or that he likes being in Boston. But Boras he always likes having his players establish their values in the open market. So that means reaching for agency. I wouldn't get your hopes up for an extension now unless Boras breaks precedent. So he'll, or the Red Sox will have to compete with other teams in free agency, most likely, if Bregman opts out. So we'll see what happens there. But they clearly have money to spend after moving on from Devers. But the long-term foundation that they have there, especially with a manager in Alex Cora, who is really respected, that feels like a pretty enticing case for Bregman to try to stay long-term.
And what a surprise. We got a Red Sox fan being an asshole in the comments. I never said they can't stomach the money they gave to the second best pitcher in the league in Garrett Crochet. I said that the way they're thinking and helps and make it easier to absorb the money that they paid big money to several people. You clear the Devers money, it makes it easier for them to account for the money they paid to players who are on the team currently helping them win. But, you know, I appreciate you twisting my words. Obviously, that's how Bostonians operate. I won't call it any more commenters, I promise.
No, well, yeah, that's... We don't like twisting words in a podcast here. No,
At no point did I say the Garrett Crochet deal was not good. I said it helped them, you know, move the money aside, help them absorb it, not stomach it like I have to hold my nose and pay Garrett Crochet. But, you know, you hear what you want to hear, obviously. You guys get to celebrate.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Let's move on to a different topic. Yeah.
I think we should. But obviously, they are set up well for the future. It's hard not to be extremely jealous of what they got going. And we will see more from that front office. I would say whether they, you know, the Trevor Story opt out, whether they, you know, get a deal done with Bregman before the offseason or have to compete with others. They have the financial ammo to stomach that, too. So let's go back to the trade deadline a little bit, and not going to dwell on this long, because if everybody watched our weekend shows in Chicago, we went over this plenty, and, you know, a lot of great content there in terms of immediate reactions and forward thinking reactions of how we feel these teams are best set up down the stretch. I noted earlier that after, you know, the Red Sox trade deadline was relatively inactive, but I liked what I saw from them so much in June, July, and early August, that I still predicted my post-trade deadline World Series was Red Sox-Phillies. I did have the Phillies in that matchup. I guess we'll see how that turns out. But I thought good chance of, you know, the Yankees falling out of the picture and the Red Sox, you know, I thought it came down to Yankees and Rangers and Mariners for two spots. I thought the Red Sox were your cemented wild card. After watching the Yankees win zero games after the trade deadline and look worse than ever despite building their bullpen that blew exactly one game and then has looked good since, but they can never line up the offense with the pitching, vice versa. One of their three main areas, including the defense, always seems to falter on every game. It's hard to believe in them right now. Still don't think they gave up enough of the deadline to regret what they did, but now that we're like a week out, almost 6 days, are there any trades where you're already kind of giving them the side eye going, man, I liked that last week, and now I just don't know, like, whether that was a smart move for now or whether that was a smart move for the future, where are we at? Like, is anything striking you differently now than it did when we talked over the weekend?
I would say Jake Bird being for the Yankees. I mean, obviously he was optioned to AAA and he's been off to a really poor start in the Bronx. And he was used so much with the Rockies that you wondered if that workload would end up catching up to him before too long. And I want to say we saw Eric Boland, who is a Yankees reporter, mentioned that same kind of thing on Foul Territory yesterday. And I asked some other scouts, and yeah, like they said something very similar to what Eric said. So I want to give Eric his props for what he ended up mentioning, because I think there was definitely some validity there for sure. And they were obviously aware of that workload that he had in Colorado, and clearly struggled so much early on that after 5 days he was optioned to AAA. So obviously not great. A lot of time for him to bounce back, but not a good start there. And then the other one that's obvious is Mike Soroka with the Chicago Cubs. And the Cubs, even Jed Hoyer mentioned it yesterday to other reporters that were on the scene, is they saw his velocity dip, Soroka I'm talking, but they still wanted to acquire him because they viewed him as a higher upside guy than some of the other players that were available, and that the price was just in a spot where they felt like they couldn't pass it up. They realized the risk when they ended up doing the deal, and it's looking like it's at least possible that they gave up prospects for two innings of Mike Soroka for this season. So I hope he's not done for the year. I don't know exactly what his situation is there, but obviously this could not have been a worse start to Soroka's time with the Cubs. And he even said he wanted to be with the Cubs. It's an organization he's had his eye on for a while. And who knows? I mean, maybe it ended up blasting for two innings. We'll see, but not great.
That's actually, I swear I'll stop talking about the Red Sox at some point. But there's this thing where it feels like some front offices feel the need to decide between one thing or the other. And yes, the Red Sox in a way did that with Devers versus these extensions, when theoretically this massive market team could have just kept Devers, paid all of these folks, but they prefer, pretty clear they prefer Bregman the player. So that's why that was done. But the Cubs, you know, getting Soroka, you know, and the idea that it's like Soroka or a controllable ace, you know, you could go ahead and grab both things as long as you're willing to pay the price. There's also a different controllable, or, you know, a different rental starter that you could have gone and grabbed versus Soroka. So if you need to make that choice and say, I don't want to pay the price for Mackenzie Gore, who's also been pretty bad, I'd rather go grab a rental. Okay, well, Merrill Kelly, Charlie Morton, these are people that maybe make more sense. But if you believe in Soroka, you know, you can go ahead and get an alternative, a backup plan, a second option. And now the Cubs are left with just this bizarro world, you know, sad declining velocity, two inning trade.
Yeah. And I mean, we also got to look at it too. And there's something I want to, this is going to be a loaded answer. So bear with me on this one. But there were not that many starting pitchers who were moved overall at this deadline. It was a very reliever heavy deadline. And we saw arms like Mackenzie Gore or Mitch Keller or Sandy Alcantara or Edward Cabrera. None of them moved despite all the rumors that were going around. And even some rental options weren't moved as well, like Andrew Heaney or just, I mean, some of these other guys as well. And I was very critical of what the Pirates did or didn't do at the deadline. And I went pretty hard after them. But when teams are not willing to pay the price that you're looking for, you don't have to move a guy like Mitch Keller. And it seems like no team was really anywhere close to like ponying up to get Keller, or even Andrew Heaney, or even IKF, or anyone like that. So upon further review, I think my criticism of the Pirates is kind of misdirected. So I wanted to kind of wear that one, or just, I don't know, correct my take on it. But there's just... yeah, it was. There's more that goes on behind the scenes than I think anybody is ever really aware of. But no, like the pitching market overall, like starting pitching market overall was very stagnant. So I can't fault the Cubs for not getting a frontline starting pitcher, because you look at Gore or any of these other high end pitchers, the prices on them were just absurd, and getting them would have resulted in gutting your farm system, and that's not something that they wanted to do, or any team in that position really wanted to do either.
I'm going to toss it to a Doc question asking about who you think the best steal of the deadline was. I think that's a good follow-up. And I apologize for not putting it on the screen. I'm clicking these and they're not showing up on my screen. So got a little bit of some busted tech here. And so I'm just going to be keeping track of the comments and reading them out loud. But thoughts there?
That's a great question. I've admittedly have not thought much about that. Do you have one off the top of your head so I can try to think about this one?
Oh, I mean, Jake Bird, hands down. No.
good shout.
Yeah, either Jake Bird or Austin Slater, who played 1.1 games before going on the injured list. I think I need a little bit more data here to be honest. It's a good question. And I like wish, yeah. I feel like this hasn't unfolded yet. I feel like I need to see, you know, a Dustin May pitch.
Yeah, no, I would agree. This is not like an answer to your question, but I'll go a most underrated player in baseball. It's Nathan Eovaldi. The year that he's had, why is he not getting more recognition nationally? Like, if we're talking steals, getting him in the offseason, they obviously ponied up quite a bit. There were other teams that were very aggressive after Eovaldi, but he liked Texas. He wanted to be in Texas. There was some, as I said, there was other enticing possibilities, and any team would have been significantly better with Eovaldi heading the rotation. Because look at his numbers this year and his production that he's had from the beginning of the year to now. He's one of the best pitchers in baseball, and it feels like nobody outside of Texas is really talking about him. So shout out to Eovaldi, because he deserves a lot more love.
Didn't make the All-Star game for some reason, has like a 1.38 ERA this year. I would agree with that for for sure.
Yeah, it's crazy. And like, how wasn't he an all-star? I mean, you know me, Adam. I don't give a rat's ass about who gets in the all-star game or not. But if there's anyone who deserves it, it's Eovaldi for sure.
And you know me, I definitely do give a rat's ass about who makes the all-star game. And with all every year, there's a how didn't he make it all-star? There's a guy who finishes fourth in the MVP. And you're like, didn't have an all-star season? Are you kidding me? Eovaldi is one of the more egregious ones I've ever seen. And certainly the one this year with all of those replacements on the AL pitching staff. We're going to send, no offense to Carlos Rodon, we're going to send Carlos Rodon and not Nathan Eovaldi? I mean, okay.
Yeah, no, that's, I don't get it. I don't get it at all. But I wanted to give him some love because I cannot believe we haven't given him the love that he deserves this season. So Nathan Eovaldi, if you're watching this, which I don't think you are, but if you are, apologies to you for not giving you some love before today.
Yeah, Nathan Eovaldi told me he's watching Stack in the Box, but maybe he'll listen to the audio feed here or join the Discord. We'd love to have him. Let's kick the ass of the team that everybody's. If you're a Red Sox fan, you're watching for the Roman Anthony extension. You're probably waiting for the misery talk about the New York Yankees as well. Might as well give it to you. I mean, sometimes it just feels like there's, you know, sometimes the New York Yankees do a lot of things wrong, right? And, you know, they have a weird offseason where they forget to get a third baseman or they leave holes in the rotation or just like terrible injury luck befalls them. And you can say, oh, they look terrible and I blame Brian Cashman, or they look terrible and you can just blame the medical stuff. This year, they've done a weirdly good job of overcoming a lot of injury issues. Brian Cashman had a weird offseason that set him up for a pretty good trade deadline where he got a lot of business done. And I don't think there was a lot of arguing. And you'll have naysayers now saying, oh, I didn't like David Bednar's barrel percentage. Okay, sport. Like, you were not saying that last week. Or like, there were warts to Doval and Bednar, and both got, both struggled last year. But it's hard to do a better job on the fly than Brian Cashman did at this trade deadline. And the team leads all of Major League Baseball in team war, and they stink. They give games away defensively, bullpen, and it's hard not to pin a lot of that. You can pin it on the players, and you should, but it's hard not to pin a lot of that on Aaron Boone, who admitted that the choke job in Miami right after the deadline got to the team and got them down and sent them down a bad pathway, which can't have that. Like, you have a team showing up every day since that moment that feels like they're going to lose a baseball game, and they have. And when it comes to in-game decisions, Devin Williams blows a save in the opener of this Texas series. Not his first blown save. He's got like a 5+ ERA in the month of July. The trade's not working out, right? You just acquired two other closers. Probably got to use one of those guys as the closer, or maybe Luke Weaver. Fernando Cruz is coming back. Like, there's a lot of – that's now an active choice by the manager. And in a nothing-nothing game yesterday with Mark Leiter Jr. and Tim Hill and David Bednar all available, he goes to Devin Williams again. Williams, bad defensive play by Jason Dominguez, but then walk, rowdy Telez 11-pitch battle, ribby single. Sorry, that's on the manager. And it's beginning to feel a little bit hot in New York, and I've never convinced myself that there's a real hot seat for Aaron Boone, because every year it feels like the team will tell you you're not seeing what you're seeing, and they'll just move on and hope that it eventually gets better. Aaron Boone has a great regular season one loss record, objectively true, but the team's mood is in a toilet bowl right now. Boone is making, with a deeper bullpen than he had last week, like doubly deep, is making the wrong decisions and emphasizing a guy whose value is plummeting by the day. So for the first time in like 6 years, this is a pretty thick roster that should be better than it is and is in danger of falling out of the playoff race that it once led by 8 games on August 6th. They will be out of the playoff picture if they lose today's baseball game. So thoughts on Aaron Boone, security, and thoughts on what is going on with Devin Williams, who's looking at a 1-year deal this offseason in my estimation, but I wonder what you're thinking and seeing there.
I'm getting the impression that you're not very happy with the current state of the Yankees.
I mean, I'm good. I'm like, when it gets this bad, you just have to disconnect, because it's, if you're rooting for this team to, you have to have lowered your expectations at this point. They're going on a World Series run. These guys, no, they traded for bullpen arms who will be around next year and in 2027 for good reason. Like,
yeah,
I like what they did. It just, it inexplicably made them worse, which seems to keep happening.
No, and I do the same thing where I disconnect. If the Eagles end up like being really bad, I just disconnect and accept reality. And you, it almost, I don't know, like, you can tell me if this is a bad comparison or not, but what is happening now with Aaron Boone kind of feels like a similar situation with where Doug Peterson was toward the time of like where it was ending in Philadelphia for him. And Boone is, by all accounts, to me, a good manager. He is respected. The players really like him. I think he does a good job. But it's clear something is not working for the Yankees. Like, everything that could possibly go wrong is going wrong. And he even admitted that one of the losses in Miami had a lasting effect on the clubhouse. And he's trying to get it to just shake away from the team just so they can move on from it. But it's been easier said than done. And whether it's been bullpen or offensive struggles, or it's been defensive miscues, and there's been a lot of those. A lot of things are going wrong there in New York. And you're spot on about Devin Williams. Like, he is very likely probably going to get a 1-year contract in free agency at this point. And it's disappointing because when he was traded to the Bronx, like, he was obviously viewed as a high-end dominant reliever, as he should be. He was great in Milwaukee, and it's just not been the same in New York. So they need to figure out something in the Bronx, because they're in absolute danger of falling out of this postseason race and missing the postseason altogether. And I think if that happens, then we could see some action in New York. But it's kind of, I'm in a similar boat as you, that I just couldn't picture Aaron Boone possibly being on a hot seat, just because he's such a good manager and his job has just felt safe. But the struggles this year, yeah, it feels too much for that ownership group to ignore.
Yep. Heart of the matter. Just impossible. And again, they've already fallen. They were, you know, the Red Sox, they were 12 games back 2 months ago, and now they're 3 games up on them. And yeah, they've been great since July 1st, unequivocally. You know, can't argue with what the Red Sox have actually done on the field. But the Yankees' predictive stats and all these things that should indicate, you know, indicate that they should be hanging right with them. Should be like, you know, 4 or 5 games up on a red hot Boston team. And instead they're way behind, because they just, whatever they have to do to lose a baseball game, they'll do. And whenever there's a bad feeling, it lingers. I think that falls on Aaron Boone. So we'll wrap with a more positive discussion of a team that's playing much better. My predicted World Series champion, Philadelphia Phillies. Kyle Schwarber MVP discussion. Like, I don't think it's going to happen. The last I checked, 10-1, we're still doing the annual Shohei Ohtani award for being Shohei Ohtani. I say that derisively. Incredibly, you know, there's nobody quite like Shohei Ohtani, but it's pretty hard to envision him ever losing an MVP when he plays a full season at this point, given the mechanics of what he does. But in any other world, Kyle Schwarber would be right there with his 40 bombs galvanizing Philadelphia. They don't want to see him go anywhere. But so far, not a lot of movement on that front, and they're going to have to pay a hefty price. The anti-Devin Williams, a guy who performs in October, is carrying this team right now towards a, you know, momentum-filled end of season into the postseason, and City loves him. So thoughts on Schwarber, who floated Cincinnati a little bit when talking about his upcoming free agency. Obviously, fans in Boston loved him, wouldn't hate that reunion, I don't think, even though they've got a lot to take care of. What are your thoughts on Schwarber's market and Schwarber's fit in the city of Philadelphia?
I love Kyle Schwarber. He's probably my favorite player in ball, if I'm being totally real. He hits absolute bombs. He is a great teammate. He's a great player. His home runs, I mean, they go a million miles. Like, they're just majestic home runs. And he is everything that I would want in a franchise player. And he's not going to get like a 10-year deal in free agency. Like, he's not at that point of his career. But his market is going to be very hot. And I expect the Phillies to be pretty aggressive in trying to bring him back. I think a reunion with the Boston Red Sox makes a lot of sense as well. You add that bat to that lineup, I mean, that's just a really good situation there. He can obviously hit very well in Fenway. I think it's a great fit. I don't know if they'll actually pursue him, but I absolutely believe that they should. But I doubt that he ends up making, or I doubt that he ends up winning the NL MVP this year. But I think the discussion that's worthy of being had with Schwarber is him being a Hall of Famer. And at this point, I would say yes. He is on pace for probably 500 homers in his career. And going from being he was non-tendered by the Cubs. And going from being non-tendered to being a possible Hall of Famer, he's one of the most underrated players in ball. And he absolutely deserves his recognition. He deserves every dollar he ends up getting in free agency. And this is going to be a pro Kyle Schwarber podcast for a while during free agency, because hopefully I can break that one. We'll see whenever he ends up signing. But yeah, that's a hell of a player, and whoever signs him in free agency is going to be a lot better for it.
Yeah, I think it's going to be very exciting offseason for Kyle Schwarber. I don't think Philadelphia is going to let him get away that easily, but let's see how the end of the season unfolds. He could make it feel inevitable that, hey, okay, we literally cannot live without this guy. Or they could fall out of the postseason earlier than we think, feel like they need a deeper retool, and then realize they can't necessarily spend the money that they should have saved for Kyle Schwarber on Kyle Schwarber. That's why this is the place to be during the offseason. We'll keep you updated on everything, the goings-on, the rumors, pre-winter meetings, during and after. And we thank everybody for joining us on an episode that started with me dealing with my least favorite fan base, but also, yeah, obviously a team that I respect tremendously. Those Boston Red Sox. I wish all Red Sox fans would see what I see, that it's a pretty good life. You know, four titles since 2004. You sign every player you want to sign this offseason and into the regular season. Again, if I were you, I would be happy. And you guys are happy now, so I don't think I'm lecturing anybody. But
no. Yeah, they're happy for sure. Their positivity is definitely being felt compared to where it was in the offseason, or just, I don't know, recently. Yeah, it's good to see Red Sox fans happy, despite I think you not being too happy about that.
Well, yeah, I mean, I obviously wish that I was happy also. You know, it's a fun rivalry when everybody believes in their team, and instead the Yankees are on you know, this entire era of just, you know, good regular season, piss poor postseason, and now we're not even doing the good regular season thing anymore. So it is what it is.
No, that is the truth. But no, good show today, my friend. We ended up getting there, despite some early turbulence from Red Sox fans. Ooh. but we got there.
Yeah.
And I just want to say that I appreciate you, Adam, and everyone in the comments. I appreciate you. And, well, Adam, our lovely producer for the day, I appreciate you.
Some sort of broken comment button. Yeah, who the hell knows? If anybody knows how to get the comments up, let me know.
Yeah, no, it'll keep me up at night, because I don't have the answer for that.
Yeah, well, we appreciate everybody joining us. Thank you so much, Robert, for hanging out on the show today. And thank you, News Cycle, for giving us some news. We will see everybody again next Wednesday at 3:00 Eastern, new time. Join the channel, join the Discord, or subscribe if you haven't. Turn on your notifications so you know when we're going live. Hit that button. Hit as many buttons as we offer you. We would love to see you back here next week listening on the audio feed. We're going to have guests over the next couple months. We're going to try to make every show special. And then when the offseason comes and the postseason, expect an expansion, blowout, etc. All the good stuff. Until next Wednesday, I'm Adam Weiner for Robert Murray. We will all see you later.
No, we will. Thank you, everybody.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.